News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. Dr. Michael Ash is the president of Southeastern Community College. He is joining me today. He joins me the fourth, because there are sometimes we have five Wednesdays, but the fourth Wednesday of each month, we know there will be one of those, but not necessarily a fifth, but not necessarily the last Wednesday. It is this month, and it's Halloween that's coming up, and we've got an election that is coming up, and we've got a lot of things going on. We've got West Burlington schools. They're in an all-online environment right now. It seems that this coronavirus pandemic, Dr. Ash, I was in Palm Springs in California for a week last year, and it was like, was it just last year? And it's like the months we've had some. It seems like some things have gone by microscopically slow, and other things seem to be racing by. Is that same feeling for everybody?
Well, I don't know about everybody, but certainly for me. And I was telling you earlier that, of course, when this thing really hit the U.S. and things started shutting down, we were getting ready to go into spring break, and I had to call my team back and have some emergency meetings with the hospital and so forth, and that was in middle March. And so we began all of the gear up and all the proper protocols that we needed to. And then along comes thinking about the future, and we've got to figure out what we're going to do come fall. We had everybody online, or most of all the students were online for the rest of spring and summer. And then yet at the same time, we were hearing from students saying they didn't want online. Many of them didn't want online. So trying to figure out how we can open safely. So we wrote a reopening plan. We did that in May, got that out. And then as I was saying, I don't know what happened to June. It's scary because I was here. I wasn't disconnected, but there was just so much going on. So many pressures, so many pressure points, so many questions, so many
decisions that had to be made. Yeah.
In fact, I believe I may have said this last time, but I discovered, and I understand now that it's a real thing. So it's not anything that I discovered per se, but personally discovered decision fatigue, and I believe I was dealing with that this summer, and that may be part of why I can't really recall what went on in June.
Well, I've been referring to it as coronavirus fatigue overall. We had this sort of sense when this happened or when everything got shut down in March. That, you know, we would see and then we did see some slow returning. We saw businesses, not at first it was only only essential businesses were open, bars, restaurants, gyms, et cetera. They were all closed down. And then we saw gradual, you know, reopening, and we kept thinking it's going to get better and better and better. And then we're going to finally be out of this. It's sort of like you've done a dive into a pool, a deep end, and then you're just sort of coming back up, and you're seeing more light, and then you just all of a sudden you plunge through, and then you're done. It didn't happen that way, did it?
No, it has not.
And we've seen, and now as we move into a change of seasons, even more uncertainty is still out there, and we're seeing a surge. Particularly here in Iowa, but also other states in the Midwest, particularly, that were doing very well during the summertime. Mm-hmm. And we were expected to be, and the states that did the worst were the ones that we thought would be doing the best because it was going to be very warm in those states, and the virus supposedly can't live where it's really warm, but obviously it can.
Apparently.
we're learning on the go, and we don't know. And the other thing is, the frustrating thing is that we have really no real idea for sure when we'll be back to quote-unquote normal.
And that's a mouthful right there. The anxiety of uncertainty, the anxiety of not knowing, and even as we had our salutations this morning,
I almost reached out to shake your hand, but I said no, I can't do that because that would be too close. That'd be too dangerous of a contact.
Absolutely, and so even something as simple as a handshake, we can't do that. Giving somebody a hug, that's not acceptable at this point in life, and so it has really, really changed.
It's changed behavior patterns, and it's certainly changed. It's changed a routine. It's changed everything that I had. I had an entire summer, particularly a very full summer, and including a European vacation, a trip around Norway. I had a 500-mile bike ride. I had two-day bike races over the Memorial Day weekend. Concerts every week that we were going to broadcast.
Yep.
None of those things happened, and everything was wiped out. And also, the players no theater. The players' workshop is shut down. There's no holiday lighted parade. Santa Claus will not be in his cottage.
No symphony.
No symphony. Nothing is happening. The Capitol Theater, which is usually a lifeblood of activity, now there has been really nothing going on there either.
Not a lot. That's right. And on the college side, we've canceled one event after the next. The latest that we've had to cancel is our scholarship reception, where we bring donors together with students and we celebrate with the donors for their generosity, and it gives students a chance to say thank you right to the donors. But because of many of our donors are older, and because of the close contact, we've determined that that's probably not in anyone's best interest.
And to say nothing of sports. which is some things have been going on. I believe you did have cross-country, right?
Cross-country and golf.
And golf.
Mm-hmm.
You have basketball scheduled for to begin, I believe, on the 20th of January.
January.
Mm-hmm. And you have, I think, a number of other things that are all sort of going to be intersecting at the same time, right?
Right. With the exception of cross-country and golf, everything's been pushed to the spring. And we've had to do that, one, because of the concern of being able to do that in the fall and how that might be the virus might impact. And here we are now looking at spring, and one of the most oft questions I get asked is, are we going to do basketball this year? Well, that's our plan. As long as we take care of business properly.
And if you do basketball, will you have fans?
That is the other $64,000 question.
We don't have answers. We don't have answers.
Right.
We've got a lot of things on our plates, but we don't have an answer for what to do about them.
Right.
And how they're going to be actually functioning, and whether they're operational. Tell you what. Spent a lot of years as an operations director. I don't know what operations is right now.
that's very true. It's one of the most confusing times, frustrating times, discouraging times, and in many respects, I have to deal with this stuff myself as a leader of our organization, but I also have to be positive and I have to be upbeat, and so I have to be emotionally strong.
Well, let's talk about the positive things that are going on. Your classes are underway.
Classes are underway, and we have face-to-face, and our COVID situations are very, very minimal. We're very proud of our students and faculty and staff for their response to our safety plan, and if we've had an outbreak of any sort, it has come from the outside,
right?
And we have had to quarantine students that are living in the residence hall, and then many of our COVID-related issues are not because a student has come up with or come down with COVID, but they may have been exposed, or their child couldn't go to preschool,
right?
Because the place is closed, or the school has an A-B schedule, and so that impacts students, faculty, and staff, where they have to be with their children. Or there might be one of our students or faculty staff that are taking care of an older individual or someone who is, has some illnesses themselves. And so they have to, we have to be careful and we have to be conscious of that and we have to be supportive. So even when we report out numbers to our faculty and staff, they're combined, but we don't, the actual numbers of COVID specific affected individuals is very, very minimal.
So that's a positive.
That's a very, very big positive.
That's a big positive.
I am so pleased with the response of our faculty
and you're able to do, in terms of what you've been doing, internships at the hospital, are those still functioning?
Yes. They're doing their clinicals. All of our programmings are doing our health programs are doing their clinicals, which you have to have that hands-on, that real-life experience.
Yeah.
We do a lot of simulation, and we have a wonderful simulation lab at the college, but you also have to be able to touch that body, that real body. You have to be able to interact with somebody who is expressing to you pain or frustration or whatever.
And with the graver health systems being in the situation that they are right now, I'm going to guess that has limited at least sort of things you could do that you would normally be doing.
I believe it has, but they have been really great partners. They have just been fantastic, and we've reciprocated by providing opportunity on our campus for the drive-up clinics and so space for that. Now we're coming into this weather issue, the colder weather, and the question becomes, well, now what do they do? Because this is an all-outside experience, and so the temperature and whatnot, not so bad for someone who's in a car who drives up, but for the workers that are out in the weather, the cold and whatnot. So I know the hospital is trying to figure that out, but again, I will underscore very, very strongly how the hospital has been great partners with us, and they've kept us in the loop. During the summer, the late spring, we had residence hall students who were still here, and we worked out an arrangement with them, with the hospital, because we closed down our food service, but we worked out an arrangement with the hospital, and we paid for it, but we worked out the arrangement that they would make the meals for our students and staff that were in the residence halls, and then we would go pick them up, and we would deliver them to our students.
Everything has had to be in a contingency plan situation. Normal does not exist right now.
No. it's very, very abnormal. And here's the thing, people want to know, and again, one of the questions I get a lot of. Oh, are we going online? Are we going to go online after Thanksgiving? And, well, first of all, I don't know for certain what the virus is going to do. Our plans are that we're going to be continuing on after Thanksgiving, just like we've been doing. But there's this determination. There's this need to know or need to be settled.
Does this change students going home for Thanksgiving or anything like that? Any change in travel at all?
No, not really. The international students will probably, most of them will stay in the general area.
Right.
Well, we have host homes for them to go to, many of them. The regular student population is generally from this area.
Okay.
Keokuk, over into Illinois and parts north of Des Moines County, and even as west as Henry County. But for the most part, our students are in the general area.
But even Thanksgiving in general, the large group family Thanksgivings are simply not going to be probably happening this year.
I don't think so. I mean, I haven't done any scientific polling, but I have talked to our faculty and staff, and they're hunkering down. They'll do video conferencing. I hope they'll do Zoom, but they'll do some type of FaceTime.
Staying safe. We're going to take a break for news and some very important announcements. We'll be back right after this.
An advisor, a mentor, a motivator, a teacher. He goes by many names, but most of us call him Coach. Get the scoop from the man himself, as well as answering questions from fans like you. It's all right here on Hawk Talk with Kirk Ferentz on the Hawkeye Sports Network.
Hawk Talk with Kirk Ferentz, Wednesday nights at 6:30 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Here in Western Illinois, we expect our courts to be fair, with a good judge like Tom Kilbride on the Illinois Supreme Court.
I'm Tom Kilbride. As a judge, I've tried every day to be fair and even-handed, and most of all, to make sure the law works for everyone.
Police, sheriffs, and other judges in both parties agree Justice Tom Kilbride deserves to be retained.
Justice Kilbride's integrity, it's impeccable.
He's an extraordinary human being.
Tom Kilbride is the epitome of judicial independence.
And his honesty is second to no judge I've ever met.
He is fair.
Hard on crime.
Has done a tremendous job in protecting all individuals.
And we need to keep him there.
I'm proud to have been endorsed by our police.
This Tuesday in Western Illinois, please find your way down the ballot. Vote yes to retain Tom Kilbride for Illinois Supreme Court. Say yes to Kilbride. Paid for by Kilbride for Supreme Court Judge Committee.
Hi, everyone. I'm Miss America 2020, Camille Schreier. Join me in support of DEA's National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 24th. Please get rid of the unused or expired prescriptions in your medicine cabinet. They could end up lost, stolen, or simply misused. Protect your family and our communities, and let's all keep prescription drugs out of the wrong hands. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com.
Microban 24 protects against Staphylococcus aureus and Enterobacter aerogenes bacteria, but does not provide 24-hour protection against viruses. Every time you touch a surface, you leave behind bacteria. To keep surfaces sanitized all day, use Microban 24. Spray on hard surfaces to kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria initially. Once dry, Microban 24 is effective for 24 hours on bacteria when used as directed. Microban 24 sanitizing spray, bathroom, and multi-surface cleaner.
Around here, we like things out in the open.
Especially when it comes to politicians making decisions that affect our families.
So that's what makes Joni Ernst's record on Social Security so troubling. She said they needed to talk about fixing Social Security behind closed doors.
It's true. At a town hall in Estherville, Ernst said she wants to make deals on Social Security behind closed doors.
We all know who's behind closed doors, the lobbyists and special interests.
And the Wall Street crowd has given over $1 million to Ernst's campaigns.
So no surprise, Joni Ernst suggested privatizing Social Security and raising the retirement age.
All behind closed doors.
Fortunately, Iowa's got Teresa Greenfield, the only candidate to say she'll protect Social Security and Medicare.
That's why Teresa's not taking any corporate PAC money.
Because Teresa Greenfield works out in the open.
Paid for by Women Vote, womenvoteproject.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Women Vote is responsible for the content of this act.
The turkey's on your plate, so now what do you do with all those feathers? Catfish Bend Casino introduces Feathers of Fortune. Every Friday in November, six lucky winners will be drawn at 7 and 8 p.m. to pick a feather. Your feather could be worth up to $1,000 in cash or in free play. Earn entries with every 50 points earned on your Players Club card at slots or table games. Want more entries? Play at Catfish Bend Casino on Mondays for 5x entries. See Player Services for details. Come out and play and live lucky at Catfish Bend Casino.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now the latest from the KBUR Newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. A completion date for the new Tama building project has been set. The Hawkeye reports that Des Moines-based developer Doug Wells presented the city council with a timeline for the project over the phone on Monday. The expected completion date is now December 31st of 2021. Construction of the new complex was set to begin earlier this year, but most of the work has been delayed until next year. Bids for most of the construction are set to go out on December 15th, with bids for the retail portion of the project going out in January. The president of the University of Northern Iowa has overridden an earlier decision by the school's student government that had denied recognition a student anti-abortion group. The Des Moines Register reports UNI President Mark Nook ruled Sunday that Students for Life of America will be allowed to form a local chapter on campus. The student government had denied the group's application, saying it could create a hostile environment and would not meet the campus's, quote, good faith policy. In his decision, Nook said the student government overlooked the school's policies protecting free speech and indicated its denial appeared to discriminate against the group. Searchers found the car of an Iowa man who had been missing since 2013, and a scuba diver who was part of the search says the vehicle contained human remains. Franklin County authorities say the car belonging to Ethan Kazmierczak was found Monday in a body of water northwest of Hampton. The Mason City Globe-Gazette reports the scuba diver, Jared Lezik, said a coroner will have to confirm the remains belong to Kazmierczak. Kazmierczak of Hampton was last seen at a party in rural Franklin County on September 15th of 2013. Surging COVID-19 cases in the city of Chicago have prompted Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker to ban indoor dining and bar services and limit the number of people gathering in one place. The rules announced Tuesday take effect Friday and will force diners and bar patrons outdoors and shut down service at 11 p.m. in the nation's third largest city. Gatherings are limited to 25 people or 25% of a room's capacity. Dr. Ngozi Ezike, the state public health director, said positive test results are climbing and have remained above 8% for three consecutive days. From the KBOR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. With just six more days of campaigning left, President Trump holds two rallies in Arizona today.
The president woke up this morning in Nevada, and he'll be going to sleep tonight in Florida. And in between, he's got those two rallies in battleground Arizona, where right now the Real Clear Politics average of polls has Joe Biden ahead by about 2 points.
Fox's Kristen Fisher. Joe Biden's back in Delaware.
Biden plans to visit Florida tomorrow, then Wisconsin and Iowa Friday, then Michigan on Saturday. And today, the campaign is telling us he's going to get a briefing from public health experts about COVID-19, then give a speech about it, and then attend a virtual fundraiser.
Fox's Peter Ducey. The heads of Facebook, Google, and Twitter are taking questions from members of the Senate Commerce Committee about election misinformation and interference campaigns and accusations of political bias. They're asking to preserve a law protecting the company's freedom to moderate their own content. America's listening to Fox News.
Kelly O'Shea's Pub wants you to feel at home. That's why they've created an atmosphere that encourages their guests to connect with their friendly owners and staff. It's a warm, laid-back environment where everyone is smiling, laughing, and really enjoying themselves. Stop in for a cold brew and try one of their amazing nightly specials. Wednesday's Taco Night, Thursday's Shea Tails, and Friday's Seafood and Whole Catfish. Kelly O'Shea's Pub. A friendly welcome is always waiting for you. South Main Street in Burlington, online at kellyoshea's.com. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Mostly sunny skies. A high this afternoon, 52 degrees with a southwest wind at 5 to 10. Tonight turning mostly cloudy, a low down to 38. Starting out cloudy Thursday, then gradually becoming mostly sunny but cooler. High 47 along with north winds to around 15, gusting to 25. Partly cloudy Thursday night, a low down to 30. Sunny Friday, 50. And sunny Saturday with a high of 60 degrees. Right now, we've got a sunny sky. It is 34 degrees.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Stocks are plunging again on Wall Street in morning trading as investors grapple with rising COVID cases and more restrictions around the U.S. to stop the spread and keep hospitals from being overwhelmed. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are at three-week lows. The S&P 500 has lost all of its October gains at the open this morning. Big tech CEOs from Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube on the hot seat today on Capitol Hill testifying to keep the law Section 230, which allows websites like Facebook to host content from users without being civilly liable for that content. For example, you can sue a Facebook user for posting lies or hate speech, but you can't sue Facebook. Two recent acts have required these sites to remove sex trafficking and child sexual abuse content. Apple TV Plus grabbed a big name to draw in more subscribers. Former Daily Show host Jon Stewart will have a current affairs series on the platform in a multi-year deal. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the markets returning to pre-coronavirus levels, unemployment rates shifting, and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text the word MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411. Text the word MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Tom Courtney raised his hand and swore an oath when he served his country in the Air Force and his community on the school board and in the legislature, helping pass middle-class tax cuts, wage increases for working Iowans, and expanding health care coverage to thousands in Southeast Iowa. Now, Tom Courtney's stepping up again to stop politicians in Des Moines from cutting health care coverage and to protect Iowans with pre-existing conditions. Tom Courtney for State Senate. But Tim Goodwin, he has his hand out, and special interests like big insurance are forking over cash to get him elected. Their plans would kick over 200,000 Iowans off their health care, raise premiums for the rest of us, even let insurance companies deny coverage for pre-existing conditions. Insurance and health care interests have big plans to make even more, and Tim Goodwin is their man.
Authorized by Tom Courtney, paid for by the Iowa Democratic Party.
This is Aaron Dorr for Iowa Gun Owners. Imagine, Biden and Harris win. Chuck Schumer runs the Senate because Teresa Greenfield cast the deciding vote. Things will move real fast, just like Virginia. First, they'll end the filibuster so no one can stop them. Then they'll pack the Supreme Court. And then they'll declare war on our gun rights. Their agenda? Red flag gun seizures. Mandatory gun registration. Banning the AR-15. Psychiatric tests for gun owners. And finally, confiscation. This isn't campaign rhetoric. It's exactly what the radical left is promising to do if they get control. And once they pack the courts, our constitutional rights are gone forever. Call Teresa Greenfield now, 515-346-8477. Tell Greenfield that Iowans don't want her to pack the courts with anti-gun leftists. And tell Teresa Greenfield to stop trying to take away our guns. This is Aaron Dorn. This ad is paid for by Iowa Gun Owners. Join us at joinigo.com.
Do you worry too much or not enough about securing your network, website, email, and backing up your data? Hi, this is Mary Beth at JNS Electronic Business Systems. We custom build managed IT solutions, which can include the flexible, resilient cloud services you need. Live worry-free in the cloud so you can focus on what drives the success of your business. It's what we do for you. For service you can rely on, call us or visit us at jselectronics.com.
Start your day with KBUR.
The morning news.
The weather.
Information you need to start your day.
Instant, up to date.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
And good morning. It is Dr. Michael Ash joining us with an extended break there. Because of politicians and, it'll be nice when the election is over, if we do have the election over. I guess that'll be a question.
When will that be over?
You know, it's another one of those unanswerable questions that we don't have. It's I think a lot of the things that we are looking at right now is being prepared. It's, you know, I think you told me, I think when we first had you come back, I think you had an, if I'm right, you had an A, B, and a C plan, didn't you? Is that right?
We did, and A was back to normal. B was that we would be spaced out 50% occupancy per room. So if we had a room that had 40 students or 40 desks in it, then we would make it 20, meaning that if we had class that actually had 40 students in it or thereabouts, that we would have to separate and divide the class into two sections.
Right.
And hopefully we could have the space where the faculty member could be teaching the face-to-face with this particular group, but group B would be on Zoom, and then the next time they would switch. So the faculty member was always involved.
Okay, so where are you right now? Are you in a B zone, or are you the B case?
We're B. We're B's, B plan. And as I said, it's really going quite well. We do have students who have had issues related to COVID, but they're not necessarily because they're COVID affected or infected. There are just issues revolving around it.
Well, and there's always contact tracing, and how long did you spend with somebody who did test positive,
right,
and that sort of thing, but. That's sports seems to be facing that right now, We had I think it was two major league sports, both in bubbles. We had basically a bubble for the World Series.
Right.
We've got college football underway, but there are college football games that are being changed or postponed because you have people that on scholarship that players that don't test positive and then a number of them possibly. So it's all a matter of. I'm guessing this, in a way, is one of the concerns, I'm certain, of all these sports that would be coming back for SEC,
yes.
Right?
Yes, and our approach generally is taking an abundance of caution. We don't want any of our people, students or otherwise, to get sick. We don't want our fans to get sick. We don't want teams coming in to get sick. So we really, for instance, we thought our baseball team had become exposed, so we quarantined the whole team. And they had to all be tested, and mm-hmm. they all came back negative, but it was we took that step as an abundance of caution so that if we had a situation, we were going to be on top of it.
We're also trying to minimize any overnight any overnight trips, is that
exactly
right?
So, and it makes for a long day for these kids. Because if they're going to travel to even Des Moines, that's
or Mason City, particularly, that's a long way.
About 3 hours to get there, and then you have practice and warm ups, and then game time, and then you have the trip home, and you have to stop for dinner and all that kind of
right.
stuff. So it can make for a very long day.
So you're making do, I guess, would be the way. And
do.
How about transportation? That was one of the issues. You said that was one of your concerns, how you were going to get these teams to where they, so that they could travel safely, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've set up protocols. First of all, we're concerned about that many kids traveling at one time, and there could be the potential of games being played at various places around the state. And we only have so many vehicles, so we would be in a position where we'd have to rent more facilities. Before the student can get on the bus to go to a contest, that they have to go through a health screening. So they go through a series of questions. Their temperature is scanned. It's all recorded. We take copious notes on that. And then they get on the bus, and then we take them to wherever the contest is. And then when they get ready to come back home, then they go through the same protocol to see if anything's changed. If it has, then we would have to find a way to get that kid back to the college, but not on the bus with the other kids.
Who would have thought that you would have the kind of issues that you would be facing?
But, I mean, it would be one thing if we, let's say we took a group of kids to a baseball game,
yeah.
and somebody had a severe ankle injury and had to go to the hospital. The team could come back. One of the coaches could stay there behind. We could make arrangements to get that coach and that kid back here. But now it's you can't. I mean, it's just there's just so much going on with this.
So you've got basketball. It'd be both men's and women's
right.
basketball.
Correct.
And now the women's. Are they still headquartered? They're still headquartered down in Keokuk, though.
Correct.
I believe they're but there is no gym down in Keokuk, is there?
There is not a gym on campus, but we rent the Cardinal Stitch gym at the Catholic school.
And there is some. I know there was scheduled, at least originally scheduled. There are some games that are going to be double headers. Are there
right.
not?
Correct. Yes.
So those are still scheduled. Is that right?
At this point, we're hoping that we can pull that off.
Okay. And the other sports that were moved are what are the other sports?
Well, we have men's baseball, women's softball, we have volleyball, women's volleyball, we have track, which is a new program we've added this year, and that'll be they'll be gearing up for spring training or spring programming for that. Sports shooting. I think that encompasses them all, but it's quite a number of kids.
Have you staggered out the seasons? Is that how you're doing some of these? Or
well, as much as possible. We don't actually set the schedule. That's determined by the central office, and then there's then you have when the playoffs would be or conference games would
right.
be, and then you have to back plan from that. So it and then if a game gets canceled because of
because of weather, positivity or cases.
And it's lost. The game's lost. I mean, not that it counts as a loss, but you can't make it up.
Right.
There's no time in the schedule to make up games.
All right, we're going to take another break. We've got Dr. Michael Ash with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
The Notre Dame girls take on Waco in 1A regional final volleyball tonight with a winner heading to the state tournament. Join Casey Fleming for all the action. Brought to you by Reinschmidt's Flooring America, the Pilot Grove Savings Bank, Bob Dodd's Insurance, Pizza Ranch, the Danville State Savings Bank, Courtesy Door, Ritter's Garden Center, and Standard of Beaverdale. Notre Dame Waco Volleyball, 6:45 tonight on News Radio 99. And 1490 KBUR and KBUR.com.
Here in Western Illinois, we expect our courts to be fair, with a good judge like Tom Kilbride on the Illinois Supreme Court.
I'm Tom Kilbride. As a judge, I've tried every day to be fair and even-handed, and most of all, to make sure the law works for everyone.
Police, sheriffs, and other judges in both parties agree Justice Tom Kilbride deserves to be retained.
Justice Kilbride's integrity. It's impeccable.
He's an extraordinary human being.
Tom Kilbride is the epitome of judicial independence.
And his honesty is second to no judge I've ever met.
He is fair.
Hard on crime.
Has done a tremendous job in protecting all individuals.
And we need to keep him there.
I'm proud to have been endorsed by our police.
This Tuesday in Western Illinois, please find your way down the ballot. Vote yes to retain Tom Kilbride for Illinois Supreme Court. Say yes to Kilbride. Paid for by Kilbride for Supreme Court Judge Committee.
Asthma.
Cancer.
High blood pressure. Coronavirus.
No Iowa family should lose their health coverage because they have a pre-existing condition. But Senator Joni Ernst wrote a bill that would let insurance companies deny coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. 1 in 3 Iowans could lose their health coverage if Joni Ernst gets her way. And while Iowa families struggle to keep up with skyrocketing prescription drug costs, Joni Ernst refused to support giving Medicare the power to negotiate lower prescription drug prices for people on Medicare and private insurance. Truth is, Joni Ernst keeps attacking our health care, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out why. She's taken $600,000 from the drug and insurance industries. $600,000 changed Joni Ernst. She's hurting Iowa families. Change Now is responsible for the content of this ad. Paid for by Change Now. MakeChangeNow.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Tom Courtney thinks he has us fooled. When he thought we weren't watching, Courtney saddled Iowa's working families with more than $1 billion in new debt and backed a massive job-killing $120 million tax hike on farms and small businesses. Courtney voted to waste millions of our tax dollars on projects like heated sidewalks, a golf tournament, a baseball stadium, and courthouse furniture in Des Moines. Courtney even opposed requiring welfare recipients to pass a drug test. We said no to Courtney once. We won't be fooled again.
Tim Goodwin is a common sense problem solver who will put our families above politics. A former teacher and school administrator, Tim Goodwin will help keep our schools open safely. Tim Goodwin will support our police, cut taxes for working families and small businesses, and expand job training for workers displaced by the pandemic. And Tim Goodwin will eliminate wasteful spending so we can prioritize essential services like transportation and mental health care.
I'm Tim Goodwin, and I'm asking for your vote.
Paid for by the Republican Party of Iowa, authorized by Tim Goodwin.
Maybe it's the spacious feel of the vaulted ceiling or the image of friends having room to mingle in the open floor plan. Maybe it's the thought of holiday cooking with the family in the large kitchen with granite countertops and a walk-in pantry. Everyone sees something different when they walk into a brand new Westfield condo. One thing everyone I take inside sees is themselves enjoying maintenance-free living in a beautiful Westfield condo built by Midwest Realty Group. Check us out on Facebook or online at MidwestRealtyGroupInc.com. Dream it, build it, live it.
Now, Dr. Michael Ash is with us. He's been with me in the hour. Of course, we've had some numerously long breaks, but beyond that, as you look at the upcoming holiday season, your schedule. When is your now? Are you doing an extended holiday break, Dr. Ash?
No, we've determined that we're going to keep all of our calendaring the same, our scheduling the same. So we will be breaking for Thanksgiving, and then we'll be coming back that Monday after Thanksgiving, and continue on for about 3 weeks, and then the students will be done, faculty will be done, and then our staff, they'll be with us until about December 20, and then they'll be back with us. Then they'll be off. They'll be back with us sometime around shortly after the first of the year, and then classes will begin mid-January. So that's pretty much all standard fare, if you will. And of course, all of that is subject to change.
Right.
And if things go are more difficult with this virus, then we'll have to make adjustments.
What is we talked about the A, we talked about the B. What is a C? What is a C? Is that all online?
No, not exactly. A number of months ago, the governor had said no more than 10 people could be in a group at any one time. So we developed a plan that was Plan C, where we would have 9 students and 1 faculty member in one room at one time. So that meant if we had 30 students, then we'd have to have 3 different rooms and Zoom into those other 2 rooms while the faculty member was in one room, Zooming to room 2 and room 3. But fortunately, we didn't have to go there because she lifted that number and allowed us to go 50% occupancy.
And I guess all you can do is hope that you don't have to go through that process. So the B seems to be working reasonably
seems to be doing well. I've talked on Saturday. I talked to about 6 or 8 faculty members, and they are very pleased with how things are going. They have students who are absent, and students have to go through a process to get approved for being absent because of a COVID-related issue. But again, it could be their child is not able to go to school, so they can't go to class, or they have an adult that is ill or whatever. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are COVID infected.
And will you have a regular spring break? Is that
at this point we plan to have regular spring break, and we're trying to be very hopeful as it relates to doing a graduation in May.
Yeah. Okay. So hope is the key word here, and planning is the next key word. And what really happens, that will be up to the coronavirus, isn't it?
Well, we do planning, and we certainly mix hope in that, but we also underscore the need for everybody to be flexible. Because we may have to turn on a dime.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to put it. We don't know what you don't know. It could change in an instant.
That's right.
And so hope for the best.
Well, thank
plan
you.
For the worst, and be ready to spin your heels.
All right. Well, thanks so much,
Dr. Ash. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve,
happy Thanksgiving.
And this to you as well. Thank you.